Have you ever wanted to play the perfect tabletop game, where story beats run smoothly, and there's no awkward pauses between dice rolls? Yeah, me too. But since that's impossible, I did the next best thing, and novelized my Witcher tabletop game to showcase the story in its cleanest form. The result is this podcast. I'm Jacob Gerstel, and this is Tales from the Witcher. Part audiobook, part actual play, part serialized adventure, and a whole new way to vicariously enjoy tabletop games. Welcome to the world of The Witcher, where monsters roam freely and the continent is once again at war. If you were hoping to follow the plight of Geralt of Rivia, however, I'm not going to be doing that. Instead, I offer you the story of a not-so-merry band of degenerates who are making their way across the continent. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Honest End. 6. Ethrimel stood before the inner wall of Valander, the physical barrier separating outer city and inner city. It looked as sturdy, if not more so, than the outer walls, built of solid stone with regular patrols on the parapets. Most surprisingly was the moat carved around the wall, but instead of water, the pit was lined with sharpened stakes. A single drawbridge provided the only entrance into the inner city, and it was well guarded. It was getting dark. Soon, Ethrimel knew, the drawbridge would go up and he'd be forced to flee indoors, lest the guards arrest him for breaking curfew. He'd been waiting outside the wall all day, hoping his letter had reached Tobias in time. Staring at the sinking sun beneath the outer wall, Ethrimel was starting to think he'd have to wait at least another day before seeing his friend and potential business partner. "And the longer we wait, the more trebuchets and siege towers are built outside the city," the sorcerer thought. "And I very much don't want to be here when the walls, strong as they are, come down." A dwarven laborer carrying an armful of wooden slats bumped into Ethrimel. He jumped at the touch, nearly scattering his cargo on the stone streets. He stared at the ground and muttered his apologies before rushing to the outer wall. This reaction did not come as a surprise to Ethrimel, since he'd seen it at least a dozen times already that day. Laborers and crafters rushed to and fro in a mad dash to reinforce the city, as if the Nilfgaardians were going to attack in the next 5 minutes. The few citizens Ethrimel saw milling about during the day kept a wide berth from laborers, soldiers, and strangers alike. Those that spoke did so in hushed whispers, as if their words would carry over the walls and reach Marshal Havertvar Mahoan himself. An unseen tension, both knowable and vague at the same time, crackled through the air, like a thunderstorm about to break. Ethrimel was not immune to this citywide fear, he found. It was as if the tense air itself had infected him and made his eyes dart to every corner and shadow. "Well, what's one more day of waiting?" he muttered lightly to himself, but it did little to remove the anxiety in his gut. The sorcerer heard his name just as he started to walk away. He turned to see a knobby, bald man, with wisps of brown hair smoothed along the sides of his skull, jog across the drawbridge on his chicken legs. He wore a dark blue silk shirt, untied at the top to reveal his hairy chest. He grinned and held his hand out, a little out of breath. "I'm glad you're still here. I feared I was too late." "Tobias of Valander." Ethrimel shook the nobleman's hand. He had met Tobias at the Mahakam summit, and they quickly bonded over their mutual love of alcohol and fistech. "It's good to see you." "You as well. I didn't expect you to take up my invitation to Valander so soon. Alas, I wish the circumstances were a bit less grim." "Think nothing of it. Can we talk?" "Of course. Follow me." Tobias led Ethrimel across the drawbridge. He tried not to look at the stakes below him, or the crossbowmen above him, or the citizens speedwalking to their final destinations for the evening. They passed under a murder hole in the ceiling of the gateway, and Ethrimel imagined hot oil being poured down on him. There was no doubt about it. Havertvar Mahoan would have a hard time taking Valander by force. The inner city could not have looked more different than the outer city. Where the outer city was a cluster of crumbling hovels and poorly paved streets, the inner city was orderly and angular, with fine stone buildings lining wide roads. "I know a private little spot," Tobias said. "Do you like gardens?" As well as any elf, I suppose. Capital. It's just this way. A swath of greenery was cut from the white stone of the inner city, giving life to towering trees and rose bushes. A few quaint paths wended through the square garden, but Tobias elected to sit on an isolated stone bench. Ethramel sat next to him and plucked at a nearby red rose, careful not to get pricked by its thorn. He, like every self-respecting elf, held roses in high regard. Roses represented Aelorin, the legendary elven rebel that proudly fought against the colonizing Dwan 200 years ago. She stood up for her people and her ancestral homeland, knowing the only way to stop the humans from taking over the entire continent was through force. Aelorin rallied an army and died a hero's death on the battlefield, along with thousands of other young elven rebels. There are many old elves that continue to shake their head at what they call a foolish waste of life, including Ethramel's old mentor, Francesca Findebear, but they're sniveling cowards that always lacked the courage to protect their people. Aelorin knew the window to fight the Dwan in the field was rapidly closing, and did the best she could with the army she could muster. Time proved her right, as the elves never again had the strength to challenge the humans directly. Ethramel, born 50 years after Aelorin's death, would have given anything to fight alongside her. He turned the red rose between his fingers. In life, Aelorin lived in the palace of Sheroed, famed for the white roses that grew in its garden. Even today, elves make regular pilgrimages to the ruins of Sheroed, to honor Aelorin, who became known, in death, as the White Rose of Sheroed. Ethramel had made the pilgrimage to Sheroed dozens of times in his life, to remind himself of everything beautiful that Dwan had taken from his people, to keep the hatred of humans fresh in his heart, and, of course, to keep Aelorin's memory alive. Ethramel brought the red rose to his nose and sniffed. It smelled sweet, but not as sweet as the white roses of Sheroed. Nothing ever smelled as sweet as that. "I can guess why you're here," Tobias said after a moment of blessed quiet, rousing Ethramel from his reverie. Ethramel frowned at the rose in his hand before tossing it into the grass. "Yes, I have some fist tech that needs moving. You said in Mahakam that you've a market in the city. If you can move it quickly, our friend Vidmarv Crag Ross will become our supplier, and we can flood the Pontar Valley with the drug." "A lot of coin to be made," Tobias said. His shoulders sagged some. "But things have changed since the Mahakam summit. The most obvious being..." Tobias motioned to the wall in the distance, shrouded by trees. "This siege has everyone on edge." "And creates a scarcity of goods," Ethramel pointed out. "An astute businessman like yourself can take advantage of that." "Aye, but I'm also a member of Duke Herivard II's small council. It would reflect poorly if they find me shilling fistech during a siege." "Ah, an opening," Ethramel thought. He said, "And what's the mood amongst Alander's leadership regarding the siege?" "Depends on who you ask. The Duke is adamant we'll get reinforcements from the La Valette to the east. Some of us are less sure. Are you one of those people?" Tobias looked at the elf and smiled grimly. "That's small council business." Ethramel thought on whether to press the matter further. "What choice do I have?" he thought. "Tobias is my best lead to ending the siege, if that's at all possible." So he said, "Tobias, I'm going to speak frankly with you." "I thought we were speaking frankly." "Just so. My old Nilfgaardian card buddy, Havardvar Mahoan, is heading this siege. He's asked me to try and end it peacefully, likely before they finish their trebuchets, siege towers, and ballista crossbows. Havard's a good man, for a black cloak. There'll be no sacking if you open the gates peacefully. I can't make any promises otherwise." Tobias's eyes narrowed, and Ethramel felt that familiar tension in the air return. Trust was also a scarce good in Alander, it seemed. Ethramel wondered if he'd soon be hanging from a gibbet for even suggesting such treason. Thankfully, good sense won out, and Tobias nodded. "I understand. Sieges are bad for business, of course. I'll speak with Duke Herivard and see what can be done, if anything. And I can meet you tomorrow to pick up the fist tech, though I'll have to sit on it until this siege resolves itself. Where are you staying?" "The Bulwark." Tobias wrinkled his nose. "You couldn't have picked better lodgings? The innkeeper owes me something of a life debt. It's free. I'll meet you there in the afternoon, then. You should be heading back now, it's getting late. I'll write you a note to get you safe passage to the Bulwark for tonight." "Thank you, Tobias. I'll see you tomorrow." As Ethramel walked back into the outer city slums, he heard someone from above shout, "Form up!" Dozens of soldiers rushed across a single location on the parapet and fired their crossbows in steady procession. An Nilfgaardian bolt hit an unlucky soldier in the neck, and he plummeted over the wall. "To me! Quickly!" Ethramel heard, and saw another cluster of soldiers on the western wall, shouting orders and firing away. More shouts rose in the distance. Ethramel felt as if a dozen eyes were on him, and he picked up his pace, lowering his head and muttering apologies to anyone he crossed paths with. He froze and held his breath as 10 soldiers came his way, their armored greaves seemingly clanking in unison with each step. Ethramel leaned against a tumble-down green shack and hoped he wouldn't be questioned for being out past curfew. He had a letter from Tobias, but that scrap of paper seemed little protection now. The soldiers ran past in an armored blur. Ethramel let out a shaky sigh before speedwalking back to the bulwark. Havert's typically slower than this, more cautious, Ethramel thought. Something's pressing him to act. I may have less time than I thought. For a moment, Ethramel thought of abandoning a lander to its fate and teleporting to his tower in Lonkoff. Then he remembered that Colden Opteld, his estranged son, might still be waiting for him, and he decided it was better to stay in the sieged city. 7. The Nilfgaardian gave a last, stuttering breath, and stilled. His name was Basim, Carmagnola had learned. Basim from the province of Metina, famous for its horse breeders and cavalrymen. Basim belonged to the former, from a long line of horse breeders. He spoke to Carmagnola at length yesterday about the foals his family was raising before he was called off to serve, how the next time he would see them they'd be full-grown and strong. Basim appeared hale and hearty then, suffering from little more than a minor fever. Now he was dead, taken by the Bloody Run, or the Red Death, depending on who you asked. Basim was the 4th Nilfgaardian to die today, and it had hardly cracked noon. There would be more before the day was done, Carmagnola knew, sterilizing his hands and wiping it with a clean rag. Many more. "Cover him and take him to the others," Carmagnola said to an aide. The Nilfgaardians were digging a mass grave in a field outside the camp. Carmagnola recommended that they burn the bodies just to be safe, but Colonel Mark overruled him, saying nothing was worse for the soldiers' morale than the stench of their comrades' flesh. The doctor heard another patient shout from a nearby tent, something about feeling his insides burning up. He sighed, readjusted the cloth over his mouth and nose, and stepped outside. Carmagnola's vision brightened against the sunlight. He saw a camp with the appearance of order. Soldiers still bustled to and fro. Laborers zigzagged through evenly spaced tents, running supplies to siege weapons. Carmagnola had to admit the Nilfgaardians were efficient builders. The doctor had not been at the camp a day and a half, and already the siege weapons looked near completion. Imposing trebuchets, tall siege towers, and large ballistic crossbows were spaced menacingly along Alander's walls. The doctor hoped they wouldn't have to be used. An assault on the city would mean an influx of injured soldiers, and the Nilfgaardian barber surgeons were stretched thin as it was. The patient screamed again, this time about needing water. Carmagnola located the tent and made his way over, wondering what in the hell the aides were doing. Not getting too close to the patients if they can avoid it, of course, he thought. Carmagnola's path was cut off by Colonel Drone. The Nilfgaardian's hair was wet, and he was fresh shaved and smelled of dried lilies. He smiled, but it quickly faded when he saw Carmagnola's pinched expression under his mask. The marshal wants to see you. Another report, Carmagnola imagined. He snapped to an aide passing by and said, "See to the patient in the tent there. The poor man needs water." The aide nodded and hurried along. Drone's smile returned. "You've risen up in the ranks quickly. Soon you'll be running the whole camp. You need all the doctors you can get. Competence shines in times like these." Carmagnola had to admit he found it refreshing, to be recognized for his skill and merit. He recalled Drone telling him something along those lines back in the town of Undying, that in most things, talent trumps rank in the Nilfgaardian Empire. The doctor had trouble believing it then, but not so much now. Marshal Havert Varma Hohen was getting briefed by the chief engineer. Carmagnola and Colonel Drone waited patiently outside the tent. When the engineer left, Havert beckoned Carmagnola in. "Good luck," Drone said, and strode off. I'd like a report, doctor, if you'd please, Havert said quickly. He was scratching away at a letter. Imperator Emir is anxious to hear of our progress. With all due respect, Marshal, Carmagnola said, wouldn't you rather receive a report from one of your own barber surgeons? Typically, I would, but you said you've dealt with this sickness before, so I want the report from you. Is it spreading? Unfortunately, it seems to have started with a few soldiers, but now it's crossed to your service force. A few cooks have died from it, as well as horse groomers and common laborers. It's spreading quickly. Havert nodded, giving no show of emotion. Do we know how it's spread? Not yet. It may be airborne, but likely it's spreading through bodily fluids. I've instructed the aides to wear masks and regularly sterilize their hands and equipment. Can there be a cure? I don't know. Perhaps if... It seems there's much you don't know, Havert said sharply. This bloody run threatens my campaign. It must be rooted out and dealt with. Quickly. Havert sighed and ran a hand through his thin hair. Forgive me. You're all doing your best, of course. I fear if this continues to spread, I'll be forced to... He sat back down, dipped his quill in ink, and continued writing. Please keep me informed, Carmagnola. The Imperator and I will be in your debt if you can end this sickness quickly. I will, Carmagnola said. He was anxious to return to his patients. They needed him. He thought to add that, this early into a newfound disease, there was little chance of ending it quickly. At best, he and the Nilfgaardian doctors could do damage control, buy enough time to possibly learn more about the sickness and how to slow its spread. But even that was not guaranteed. Havert Varmer Hohen looked to have enough on his mind already, however, so Carmagnola thought it best to say nothing at all.
That'll do it for this episode of Tales from The Witcher. This podcast is written and produced by Jacob Gerstel. The Witcher novels are by Andrzej Sapkowski, The Witcher games are by CD Projekt Red, and The Witcher tabletop RPG is by R. Talsorian Games. The music is by Eric Matias at soundimage.org. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, and to spread the word of this podcast far and wide. You can follow the podcast at TalesWitcherPod on X or at talesfromthewitcher.buzzsprout.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week.